Can I therefore take this opportunity to ask for the election of acting chair? Honorable Mampuru.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I nominate Honorable Dlamini to stand in for one as one based on the reasons that we furnished in our presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Mampuru. Any second, Honorable Members? Oh, Honorable Mpambo Sibukwane is seconding. So let me take this opportunity to congratulate Honorable Dlamini for being elected as the acting chairperson, and I'm handing over to her. Thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members. Yes, I can say it, Linda. I must behave myself. Okay, on a serious note, thank you very much, honorable members. Let me welcome the department. I'm not sure who's leading the department. I don't see both political leadership, the minister or the deputy minister. I see an apology from the Minister of Basic Education from the PMG. Do you want to help us?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The Deputy Minister is in Lesotho as part of the team assigned by the President to resolve the SADC issues there. The office of the Deputy Minister was supposed to forward it with a written response. I will find out as to what happened, Chair. But I've spoken to them yesterday. And this morning, they are coming back only tomorrow.
Okay. All members, I need your guidance. The standard procedure for this committee is that when we receive the APPs and the report, we need at least one political leadership in the department. They are both not here. We do have a written apology from the minister. We do not have a written apology from the deputy minister. Under such circumstances, DG, they usually write a letter to appoint you to lead a delegation from the political office. Then it allows us to proceed with the proceedings. But I need a guidance from members because this will be our last meeting for this year. I don't know if you don't take the department, whether we'll be in a position when we come back next year to take this report. Honorable Mampuru and Honorable Kaula.
Thank you, Akinja. Before maybe engaging with the department, I wanted to know first where are the workers of the minister? Because she might be around like we normally do with other departments where the minister is invited to come and take her through, then go back to her other responsibilities.
Hello, Kaula.
Thanks, I wanted to propose that we proceed. Because this is one department that does not trouble us. It's maybe the first time that this is happening. So maybe there was a hiccup somewhere.
See, the NA is having a plenary now. The minister is attending plenary, I'm told. I see in this apology. There's a proposal that we proceed. Any second to that, but bearing in mind that you don't have one department, you have more than one department. How three departments should not differ as a committee. There's a proposal, I'm not saying I second what you're saying, but I'm just saying, is anyone who's having a different view that we don't proceed? Okay.
Chairperson, may not have a different view because normally we don't treat departments like we want to treat in basic education. Nonetheless, there is a trouble about the manner in which we have been doing this other departments. I just want to say it on record that even if we proceed, may not, I'm not happy about what we're doing because other departments are not treated like this. Right?
I want to take the Megley line and see if the minister cannot, while we're busy with the proceedings, come. Remember, this is our your last report to this committee, to these physical bodies, to us. Honestly, it will not be appropriate that both of them are not here. We do have issues to raise as a committee, but if both of them are not here, it becomes a problem. If we could check if you could check with the minister, just to break for 5 minutes, you check with the minister if she cannot be able to sneak out, whether it will give her time as soon as she arrives, give her an opportunity just to say something, then she can be excused to go back. Otherwise, we will not be treating department the same way as we do, as Honorable Mambulu is saying. But at the same time, this is the last report we're presenting, not meeting with you, but report, annual report we're presenting to us as these people. The committee will meet you, but maybe as these people, the last report. Remember, can we break for 5 minutes?
Chair, send the head of the staff in the office of the
No, that's good. That was frivolous.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Let me start by start from where honourable Kaula started, by saying that this is, we had a very good relationship with the department since we came 2014, and the stability in the department, which is really commendable. More importantly, that in most cases, if the minister is not there, the deputy minister will be part of the meeting, which we really appreciate. And also, there's a number of things that we have achieved. The department have achieved through the interaction with the committee, which we really appreciate, even though there are still some challenges. But in terms of the schools, not only from your report, DG, but also from our own oversight. We've been going around the country doing oversight in different provinces. We do appreciate the kind of schools that you are building as a department, irregardless whether it's urban or rural areas. We've been to different provinces. We appreciate the schools that you are building, even though there are some still some challenges that you have to deal with, especially the on sanitation side. They were not doing well. We must indicate that we're not doing well at all. We do appreciate that there is a dedicated project to deal with that, but we are not doing well. We acknowledge that you will not have flushing toilets in all the provinces, because in some provinces there are problems of water shortages. You can't put a flushing toilet where there is no water, and that is not within your jurisdiction as a department. You depend on other spheres of government to provide water for you to have flushing toilets. But what we are saying, the VIP toilets that you build must be of good standard and also be maintained. That is what we are pleading for. The biggest challenge you have now is the issue of grade R, which was not part of your department, and the infrastructure thereof. The incident that happened in the Eastern Cape, we were there as a committee at the time. In fact, as NCOP, doing our taking parliament to the people, it was a report back time. We realized also that the size of the toilets were not of the size of the children you have. We pushed you to have great art, but we did not take into consideration of the infrastructure that you have. We do acknowledge that. But what we are pleading as a committee is that do first take that. We don't want to see other incidents like that one and the Bombo one. It must be dealt with. But also, I will emphasize on this Eastern Cape one, the monitoring of the young man, not only about the toilets, they could get pissed knowing the crime that is happening, human trafficking that is happening. Nobody could answer in that school what happened to the child. They only realized around 12, after 12, that the child was not in the class. That is the report we got. Meaning that there's a lack of monitoring in schools themselves. The area that you may want to emphasize or to look at, to what best do we make sure that we look after the young one. The matric results, we really appreciate, though there's been some ups and downs, but we appreciate that as a country we've moved from where we were at the time to where we are now as a country, not different schools. We have moved as a country. We really appreciate that, but we are saying you can still do better than that. There is something I'm not sure of, DG, which one would want to be clarified. Children who register to write matric. Members have been raising this thing throughout the term. Children who register to write matric and those who write. That number is increasing for those who don't write. Exactly what is happening there? One would want to be clarified. There are so many interpretations of that you are holding back learners whom you think they are not going to pass so that you can have good results, matric results. Please do clarify us on that one as you'll be presenting your annual report. But overall, as a committee, we have a good relationship with you as administration, as well as your political principles. We really appreciate that. It made our work very easy. But just take note that the work that you are doing is very, very serious. You may think that you're just doing education, you're working. It's more than that. All of us are from this department. We're sitting here because we went through that department in terms of education. The success of the country depends on you. Depends on you. If people don't go through your department, it will mean that in the future we'll not have enough educated or skilled human resource in the country. It's a very important department. One will really rank it with Home Affairs, because Home Affairs, if you don't know what the role of Home Affairs, you may underestimate the role of Home Affairs as well as education. You have a very huge responsibility as a department to take this country forward. Having said that, I am not sure how you have prepared your presentation. Then I will hand over to you, DG, to start the presentation. Then you will continue the manner in which you have prepared your presentation.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, thank you very much. And the opening remarks are taken serious, Chairperson. Areas of weaknesses, we continue to work on them. But if you allow me, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, to reciprocate the compliments that you have put forward to the department, to say it is also because of the nature and the quality of oversight that you exercise over the department that is attributable to some of the successes that you are making individually and collectively as members of this multi-party forum. We really appreciate your comments. We take your comments very serious. And the successes that you are making is precisely because of the quality of your oversight over the department. And I know that I speak on behalf of the Minister and Deputy Minister, who hold this committee in high regard, who always remind us to take serious the things that you are raising. And the good thing about this committee is that you're able to go down and verify the things that we're reporting to you about. That's the nature and the quality of the oversight that you do. Having said that, thank you very much for your understanding, Chair, in terms of the arrangement for the Minister joining the meeting and allowing us to proceed. We'll make sure that the glitch of having a written appointment for one to lead in the absence of the two political leaders should not happen. So I am going to do the presentations. We have a full complement of senior managers in terms of the branches that we have in the department. The absent DDGs are represented by chief directors and other staff members here. We are presenting the annual report on the performance of the department for 2017-2018. The presentation is essentially organized around the three main areas. We're providing an overview of the service delivery environment and context. Chair, maybe I might also indicate that appreciating that this is the last meeting that we're having with you, as you correctly pointed out, on a matter of this nature, although we have no control over what happens beyond that, it is our humble wish that we'd still have a sizable number of you would still take forward this responsibility, but acknowledging that we have no control over that. Part two is about performance of programs, and then the last part will be financial performance. Chair, I'm not going to go through every slide bullet by bullet, word by word, because it will take me a minimum of 2 hours if I have to do that. But I'm just going to speak to the presentation and go over the slides without going through bullet by bullet. As indicated already, the purpose is to report on the achievements of the Department of Basic Education for 2017-2018 financial year. And in doing so, we report on the performance against planned targets and predetermined objectives as stated in the APP of 2017-2018. And then the report of the department's expenditure for the year under review. Chair, as we all know, the annual performance is summarized in the priorities of the department and the sector as part of delivery agreement outcome one, which is about improving the quality of basic education and the action plan 2014 towards the realization of schooling 2025. I might just indicate, Chair, that we are in the process of realigning the action plan to reflect action plan 2019 towards schooling 2025, because every 5 years we realign with a new term or the new administration. The five programs are indicated there. Nothing has changed in terms of the five programs. And just to give a summary of the performance of 17-18, but we do that comparing with 2016-17 to just look at whether we're making progress or not. And clearly the summary seems to indicate that we're making baby steps progress. As we all know that managing a system of this magnitude, you can't take a quantum leap in changing especially the whole system. Overall, if you look at 16-17, it was 70% achievement, 17-18, 73%. And we reflect on this in the pie chart. And the pie chart will indicate that the green portion of the achieved targets is growing. The same applies to partially achieved targets, and we narrow in the red part of not achieved, as the illustration would demonstrate. Well, part two, the overview of the service delivery innovation and context. It's important that we emphasize that we operate within the legislative framework, the paramount legislation, which is the National Policy Education Act, and Section 2 and Section 3 of that Act are paramount. Section 2 is about setting norms and standards, and sorry, not 3, Section 4 is about monitoring compliance with norms and standards in terms of the National Education Policy Act. So that's what the legislative environment provides for. In terms of the delivery environment, again, Chair, we continue to provide national leadership of provincial efforts, because provinces are actually implementing policies that are developed at national level, and we provide monitoring and support. We follow the objectives and goals of the National Development Plan, and therefore ensure that what is expressed in the medium-term strategic framework, which is the implementation of the National Development Plan, reviewed, of course, every 5 years, as I indicated already, is followed by all the 9 provinces without exception. 6 priorities are indicated there. In terms,
I'm sorry for that. Let me take this opportunity to welcome the Minister. Minister, we apologize to interrupt you. We did receive your apology. But the challenge we had is that this committee took a decision that when it comes to presenting your plans and reporting, at least there must be one, either yourself or the Deputy Minister. Unfortunately, we don't have the apology. We do have a verbal apology from the Deputy Minister. But also, we don't want to be seen treating departments differently as a committee. And also, we thought that this is the last report we are presenting to this physical body in this administration. We may not be here during the next administration. We thought it would be good that at least you just come in, give maybe highlights, then you can be excused to go back to the plenary. We do understand the importance of the plenary. Again, we apologize to interrupt you. DG, can I hand over to the minister then, so that she could be excused?
No, thank you very much, Chair. And let me again apologize to the committee that it's not out of disrespect that we didn't present ourselves. As you might be aware, it's scheduled today, so for voting for every item. So even now, I had to ask the duty chief, the duty whip, that I come here and just give a verbal apology to the debate so that we should be voting immediately now. So, and really sorry, so that's the reason why we didn't present ourselves, because of the schedule that I do today. The deputy minister, unfortunately, I don't know why his office didn't apologize. He's in Lesotho on the Lesotho committee. So my most sincere apology to us is not out of disrespect of the committee, but thank the opportunity. Chair, because the...
No, thank you, Chairperson. With the explanation that we are receiving from the minister during the congested schedule in the plenary, maybe it will be proper for her in our presence to appoint the DG to take charge, because now an explanation has been given to us, because voting is another thing to us. I don't know if it's the proposal.
Kaula, that cooker. there's a proposal that I think that was one technical issue, oral minister, that usually when both of you are not here, just you write a letter that you're appointing the DG to lead the delegation. Voting is another thing. We don't want to lose one vote. we can't lose one vote. Maybe just... No, man, I'm thinking loud, you know. No, honourable members, I just want to just say 2-3 words. what I said to the DG before the minister came. Minister, we said we had a very good relationship with the department, and we appreciated the stability in your department. It's not a small department, a huge department. We really appreciate the leadership that you have provided yourself and the deputy minister in the department with all the challenges. But also there's a balance between the achievement as well as the challenges. And the manner in which you dealt with the challenges, as a committee, we really appreciate that. We have seen improvement, especially on issues that we've raised with you, either in the committee or after the oversight. We really enjoyed working with your department as a committee. Together we've been able to take this department forward. It's not a question of meeting. For us, when we make comments, we expect department to take them seriously, which we have done without fail as a department, which we really appreciate. Honourable members, can we excuse the minister? I'm sorry for that. Can the DG is appointed by the minister. She's agreeing. Can we excuse the minister? Thank you. We really apologize. Okay, DG, can we proceed?
Thank you once more, Chair. Thank you very much. The six areas that I referred to. Quality of teaching and learning, development and supply of effective utilization of teachers, improving the quality of teaching and learning through the provision of adequate quality infrastructure, learning and teaching support material, the infrastructure that you referred to earlier on in your opening remarks, Chair, remains an area of focus for us. Improving assessment for learning to ensure quality and efficiency in the academic achievement. I'll be talking more about what we are doing in terms of an assessment that's replacing the annual national assessment which we stopped in 2014. So I'll come back to that later, Chair. Expanded access to early childhood development. Strengthening accountability in the system, and partnerships for education, reform, and improved quality. Chair, as I said, we juxtapose the achievements for 17-18 with what happened in the year before 17-18, just to gauge whether we are making progress or not. Well, the number of learners passing matric. We've been able to just compare that between 17 and 18. In 17-18, learners who got bachelor's stood at 23.57%, which is 153,610 out of 651,707. In 2017. As I said, I'll just touch on some of the highlights and not cover all of them. Funza Lushaka as well, our numbers are up, as we can see, compared to 17 and 18. Collaboration with the PEDs, the QLTC, continues to work with all the nine provinces, and we're highlighting the area of Vuani, which was disturbed 2 years ago. We will talk more about even schools that got refurbished and rebuilt in that area. Cabinet approved over 170 million, which was used to rebuild schools in Vuani. Delivery of workbooks is a flagship project of the department chair. We acknowledge that we still have challenges around the delivery of LTSM, but I can assure honorable members that if you go to any school in any part of the country, you ask for a workbook and you don't find, please don't hesitate to get in contact with us so that we verify and make sure that the workbook is available. The experience that we have is that workbooks really get delivered to where they are intended, and all learners do receive these workbooks. There are challenges around delivery of textbooks, I must accept. In some grades, especially grades lower than grade 12. And that continues to show that in terms of volume 1, this is what we have delivered, and the numbers seem to grow from one year to the other, Chair, as you can see. Employees who were trained for skills development, we're providing the number there, 319 compared to 242 in 16-17. And 89% of graduates eligible for placement were placed, which exceeded the target of 85%. And again, if you compare that with the previous year, there's an improvement. Teachers who are younger than 30 years get employed in the system, again an improvement there. 95 teacher education programs which were evaluated. And the achievements and the highlights continue. 221,690 educators who signed up for participation in the CPTD management system, again an increase from the last financial year. Of course, I need also to indicate that although in this year the impression might be that the teacher union collaboration covered a lesser number of educators, the allocation for this program from year to year differs. Some years have got more allocation than the other, and that would account even for the target. The target is informed by how much do we allocate. We allocate to all the 5 teacher unions in South Africa to do training to teachers, to manage school management teams, and some even focus on school governing bodies, depending on the strength of the school governing body, I mean of a teacher union. The reason why we do that, Chair, is that we have learned all over the world that teacher unions become more engaged and more productive if you engage them beyond just looking at conditions of service for their members, but they also get involved in the professional development of their members. Countries like Denmark, like Holland and others do exactly that. Teacher unions are involved in the development. So all 5 teacher unions in basic education are doing training, and we allocate money to them, and they report their account on the money allocated for this exercise. We actually intend to involve them even more than we are doing now, so that they become more focused on professional development than the other things. Math, science and technology grant performance, again, compared to last year, 704 schools were involved as compared to 44. 236 workshops were supplied with equipment, and again, that's more compared to the previous year. And then 1,020 physical science laboratories were supplied compared to only 296 in the previous year. 534,484 full-time and 117,203 part-time candidates of the National Senior Certificate. And again, the results improved. Maybe Honorable Kaula's earlier question before we started could be something that be interpreted in the line of what has been happening here. Again, an improvement of 2.6% compared to the previous year of 75 to 75.1. We're hoping to improve this, but as I said to Honorable Kaula, we've done what we needed to do. The unfortunate bit is that we don't write exams. It's learners who write exams, and it's up to them to demonstrate whether they were receptive to interventions that we put in the system. Again, if the overall, including supplementary exams, and we do this every year, again, another improvement from 75.1 to 76.3. So it's an upward trajectory all the way. And I must also say, Chair, people tend to say, look, if you do this, you have to compare with how many learners entered grade one with this class of 2017. But people forget that many learners at the end of grade nine, they go to TVET colleges. And when they do the calculation and say 50% drop out, even professors, you know, they miss this very simple and basic logic that many learners at the end of grade 9 go to TVET colleges, and you've got 55 sites of TVET colleges, and the numbers have been growing there from year to year. Phenomenal. So that analysis must take that into account. And I must also say our major problem is in the system is not dropout. Our major problem is failure rate and retention rate. And that's why we came up with a policy of progressed learners. I'll explain that in relation to also how many learners enroll and how many learners end up writing. So many learners in South Africa repeat grades. In other countries, repetition is rarely practiced or allowed. Many countries allow automatic progression. So that if learners have got gaps or deficits in the subsequent grades, you focus on supporting those learners to plug on those gaps so that as they move to subsequent grades, you have at least plugged on those gaps. Well, in terms of retention, the policy stipulates that learners should not be retained in a grade for more than 4 years. And therefore, that has been practiced in grades, particularly your general education and training band. But in the other grades beyond the GET, that was not practiced. And until we emphasize the policy on getting learners to be progressed, although they might have not met all the requirements in all the subjects. And by the way, even learners who are progressed, there are conditions for progression. One of those conditions is that out of 7 subjects, the learner should have met the requirements at least in 4. And the learner should have satisfied the requirements of school-based assessment. So you don't just progress learners regardless. There are conditions. And the real challenge is whether at lower levels, the circuit manager, the school principal, and the school management team ensure adherence to those conditions. But the conditions are there. So I thought that I must just emphasize that, Chair. In terms of the school nutrition program, this is one program which has become extremely successful. And there are very few countries that provide for this, even in Africa and the world. In first world countries, parents pay for any form of school nutrition that is provided in a school. I mean, in South Africa, close to 9.7 million out of 12 million learners in South Africa benefit from the National School Nutrition Program. The survey which was done on levels of poverty in South Africa has highlighted and appreciated the fact that although levels of poverty continue to increase in the country, learners who attend school seem to be insulated from that for the duration of the time that they spend at school. So that's the value of school nutrition in South Africa. Not just for, you know, making sure that learners are ready to learn, but also to some extent protecting them against increasing levels of poverty with challenges around the economy of the country. Well, in terms of the SMS members, we're not doing well there, Chair, I must say upfront. Our levels, we are around 38% of females who are at SMS level when we are supposed to be at 50%. The real challenge is that people who either retire or leave the system, unfortunately, do not necessarily become males. they then become females, and it's a drawback. Even if you replace them, it does not reflect an improvement, because if it were males, and then we replaced males by females, it will show an improvement there. And of course, we're talking about, the recruitment of directors upwards. And what I'm saying is that the challenge is that people who leave the department, more often than not, is not males, females. For instance, the person who used to be a director for strategic planning, who left the department and went to Umalusi, is a female and not a male. So we are duty bound to make sure that we replace that person with a female. It's not going to give us an improvement from 38. But it will still say 38 if you bring a female. But if it's a male and you replace by a female, it will improve. The 38 to 47%. That's the point that I'm making. But we prioritize females. That because you are replacing a female by a female, it doesn't give you an improvement. But if you replace a female by a male, it will give you an improvement. And we continue to reflect on some of the challenges around ECB. There are improvements, but not as big and as fast as we'd like them to be. And we continue to really focus on practitioners. Chair, you've also highlighted around the issue of grade R. I'm sure the committee would know by now that a decision has been taken to take 0 to 4 year old, moving from social development to basic education. Education systems that improve, that show improvement, have done that because for you to ensure that there's firm foundation in the system, early childhood development is crucial. And although we have introduced the national curriculum framework for 0 to 4 year old, we have to improve on the quality of practitioners. We know, Chair, that for many of those 0 to 4 year old, particularly your community centers, provision is provided in the garages, in facilities that are not really conducive for learning and teaching. The practitioners who look after these children, some of them are even grannies who do not have grade 12. And the intention is that as you move this to basic education, you must ensure that you've got practitioners at least will move from a base of grade 12, moving upwards to NQF level 6. That's the intention. And also making sure that the facilities that are provided are conducive to learning and teaching in the centers. Design and have reworked and retested to ensure easy access to training has been intensified and strengthened. The matter is being handled with PEDs and teacher unions to ensure that this area receives the requisite attention that is intended. Collaboration and strengthening partnership is the area that we are looking forward to. There are areas where we depend on NGOs, where we depend on donors and so on because of the challenges around the budget. And donors and our partners seem to be coming in handy to help us in that regard. Chair, the first program that we are looking at is the program number one, administration. The main purpose of this program is really to provide strategic and administrative support services to the department. And Chair, again, target 1.1.1 up to 1.1.3 has been achieved. In some areas, we've even exceeded the performance of the target. So I'll move over that one. And this is just a summary of that area. To indicate, just to emphasize the earlier point that I made, Chairperson, that we've advertised 98 posts during the year under review. and we've also, among others, for instance, the post of the Director for Legal Services has been filled. The Director for GET Curriculum has also been filled. Director for Sports and Education has also been filled. For the year under review, as already explained, DBE staff complement ratio of female to male was 38-62 for SMS members, 50% each at middle management. At least at middle management, I'm sure the Honorable Mampuru will appreciate that it's 50%. Of course, as I said, we're not doing well at SMS level, but overall 59-41 for the department, and 303 employees which attended, who attended the skills development courses, and the department appointed 12 interns, 3 grievances which were dealt with, and of course 3 disputes, and 2 were dismissed and 1 was upheld. Financial services, security and assets, and I'm sure the committee will be happy to learn that 99.3 invoices were paid within 30 days, Honorable Kaula. In some instances, I was happy. 2 weeks ago, we're in the Eastern Cape, Limpopo and Free State to deal with the issue of paying contractors on time. In all the 3 meetings, contractors were appointed on a CD, said we are happy with the payment on a CD because we are paid within 7 days, particularly implementing agents where money is transferred in tranches. We give an advance to implementing agents. They said we get paid in 7 days for a CD. But they then said for the EIG Education Infrastructure Grant, there are delays because we transfer that money to provinces. Some said we wait for 3 months or even more before getting our invoices honored and so on. We are going to be monitoring this and holding these regular meetings to check whether there is improvement. In terms of strategic planning, the APP was tabled as required and expected, and it was uploaded on the website, and APPs of entities also were tabled within the required time, and we have been monitoring quarterly reports from entities, all the entities reporting to us. We've also been reporting on this to the Department of Monitoring, Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. We've also been analyzing the reports, presenting to HEDROCOM, presenting to the Council of Education Ministers. This line function also dealt with the household survey to just look at how we are performing in terms of the key areas of performance. Yesterday, Honorable Chairperson, we presented a 25-year review report to the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education, informed by the General Household Survey, as well as the School Monitoring Survey, which we have just concluded. Dr. Taylor is here. If there's additional information required, it can be provided. The figures look quite good. It shows that the system has been picking up in terms of our performance, and we're using the social justice principles of access, redress, equity, efficiency and quality, just to look at that, as well as the outputs, the 6 outputs that we expected to carry out our work. Again, the strategic planning, research and coordination, as indicated earlier on, the school monitoring survey was really conducted to give us the data that we require to measure our performance. Schools were visited between October and November for quantitative data collection. as part of the 2,000 schools which were selected across the country. That's the school monitoring survey there. And again, still in terms of this line function, partnerships between DBE and Innovative Edge in developing a grade one readiness assessment was approved, and an MOU between the parties, the two parties, has been drafted for review by both the legal teams. The DBE, in collaboration with DPME, has commissioned a scoping study on early grade mathematics study. A data extraction clinic took place between February and March 2018 for data extraction for full text articles. That's part of the work that has been done by that line function. The other important study that has been done in the Northwest and now in Mpumalanga is phase two, is the early grade reading study, which has indicated that coaching seemed to have the biggest impact compared to training of educators, compared to parental involvement and so on. But the other two are still important, but coaching seemed to be leading the pack in terms of impact. We're just continuing there to say that although this study has been done and concluded in the Northwest, we continue with the implementation of the findings in Ngakamudiri Mulema as well as Kenneth Kaunda in the schools that are identified, and we continue with this in Mpumalanga, and this line function is also reporting on the meetings that were held, various committees that we participate in, and important topics that are to be dealt with, such as the drug abuse that is to be dealt with by the subcommittee of FOSAT to deal with the challenge around the abuse of drugs. The Office of the Director General, these are the parliamentary questions that we responded to. We also attending to the business process, re-engineering the business process to make it user-friendly, digitized, so that whether I'm in the office or not, we can approve what needs to go through. Mm. I don't have to be physically in the office to do that. It's already happening in the other departments and so on. 45 parliamentary meetings, which include NCOP meetings, which we attended, officials were there to support committees of parliament in this oversight work that has been done. 18 brochures, which were also developed to just consolidate the work that was done in the office. Roundtable discussions with universities. We believe that it's very important that we keep a close relationship with universities. They train teachers. We also produce learners who attend these universities. So we're doing work with universities. The relationship is improving. Meeting with CEOs of entities reporting to the department so that we don't end up with you know, what is happening in other entities reporting to other departments, only get to know when these things hit the media or when Parliament picks them up. So we've got regular meetings with those CEOs to make them aware of their obligations, compliance to the PFMA, and other things that we expect them to do. They also report on their activities in those meetings. And I've indicated that the journal has been developed. This is just a picture to provide a portfolio of evidence about what we are reporting on. This is when we launched the journal in the broad management meeting. Our communication continues to do work to try and explain to the public on the work that we do and some of the issues that emerge from the public, and this is just a summary of the wonderful work that they are doing, whether it be articles or statements that we issue out on a regular basis. The Tutong journal that we issue out on a weekly basis, we're also reporting on it there. And the work that has been done by either the ministry and the department is fully reported on. The international relations, we continue to do work with other countries. Korea has been isolated there in terms of the donated laptops and to those schools that are indicated there. The basic education sector, Lekotla, we always invite you, Honorable Committee Chair. We have this Lekotla every year. We've planned another one beginning of next year. Unfortunately, the chair of this committee couldn't make it in the last Lekotla. I hope that this coming one, the chair will make it, or maybe a member of the committee will make it. In that Lekotla, we plan for the year. We reflect on the previous year and say, what are the challenges? What is it that we are unable to achieve in the previous year? Can we do better the year going forward? That's what this Lekotla is about. And after that, all the 9 provinces then go back to have their provincial Makotlas to implement what would have agreed upon. In addition to that, there are follow-up meetings from myself and other line functions, curriculum, district operations, and exams. We then go out to provinces to cascade what would have been agreed upon in the basic education sector, Lekotla. And just pictures to indicate the round table with universities, but also with the basic education sector. Program 2, Chair, you can say, is the core business of the organization. It's about curriculum and assessment policies to monitor and support the implementation thereof. Target 2.1.1 up to 2.1.3 has been achieved. No reason to explain anything there. 2.2.1 to 2.2.3, again, achieved. No deviation. Just to indicate the breakdown there of workbooks that were provided, a breakdown provision. Chair, I can assure this committee that even we've already delivered workbook 1 for 2019, it's in schools. And we have also delivered textbooks and stationery. We've been monitoring spillovers from provinces, but we're just giving those figures for the year under review. In terms of home language workbooks in grade 1 to 6, and mathematics workbooks for learners in grade 1 to 9, those are the figures there. Grade R workbooks, we are giving 4 workbooks for grade R. Every learner in all schools are provided these books. And then target 2.3.1 up to 2.3.3, again achieved. No deviation or variance. 2.4.2 also achieved. And then 2.4.3, a minor variance of 1, simply because of Western Cape and Northwest, who changed their dates for training, as we can see, for the 1+4 program, which is targeted at improving particularly mathematics there, and moved those sessions for another date. 2.4.4 has been achieved, and 2.4.5 up to 2.5.1 has also been achieved with a positive variance, as we can see there. This is just a summary in terms of ECD 2,231 ECD centers we registered, implemented the National Curriculum Framework. As indicated earlier on, 31 deaf training assistants were trained, 39,951 participants have registered for online training course for the play-based learning, which is 24,555 participants who completed courses to support effective implementation of the National Curriculum Framework for 0 to 4 year old. And the rest of the information, of course, it's about ongoing work on training, to improve the quality of teaching around ECD. 30,000 DVDs, this is around e-learning, digital materials which were developed, and again we provide more information there. We also saying we provided support for the incremental introduction of African languages. These were schools that were not offering any of the African languages in South Africa. The intention is that at the end, all schools in South Africa should be offering one of the African languages. And this is what this program is intended for. And we've made quite progress there. We're also reporting on early grade reading and assessment there, the language of learning and teaching rollout. And we continue to report on the toolkit that we have provided in terms of EGRA. We also indicate schools that we visited to monitor grade R classes, but also the support that is provided to grade 12 learners, radio lessons, and the mathematics textbooks and physical science that are also provided. That is part of the you know, details that we are providing there. The support that we are providing to 22 special schools in South Africa, including the Braille and Buzzer machines that we're providing, particularly to schools that are providing offerings to deaf learners, to blind learners. South African Sign Language, we provided a lot of support. South African Sign Language, in terms of the new curriculum, was written for the first time in the curriculum this year. There are 12 new subjects, and that's why, Honorable Kaula, I was very reluctant to say, yes, we are going to improve. We've got about 12 new subjects that are presented this year in grade 12. Anything new is new to the learners, is new to the teachers, is new to Umalusi, is even new to us to project on its performance, because you don't have a norm. When you standardize, you use a norm for 5 years. The 12 subjects will start to develop a new norm this year, and that's why it's very difficult to really project. Inclusive education, we continue to provide support there, even in terms of digital materials, ICT to heighten performance. Multi-grade schools, we're also providing support, multi-grade toolkits. And we move to program three, which is about promoting quality of teaching, institutional performance through effective supply development and utilization of human resources. Target 3.1.1 up to 3.1.2 has been achieved. 3.2.1 has been achieved, and 3.3.1 has been partially achieved with the variance that has been indicated there. Chair, in this area it's about the self-diagnostic tool and the reason for underperformance for all these targets that we see here. The self-diagnostic that we used before was the self-diagnostic tool was developed by PSM, and unions were not keen to support and participate in this because of the position that unions hold. And by the way, all five unions, not one, against Pearson. Pearson is also involved in private education. So the five unions in South Africa are part of Education International. The position of Education International is that any organization which is vigorously involved in private education, they take a particular stance against it. And it's for that reason that unions even influenced the teachers not to cooperate in terms of the self-diagnostic tool. We've now developed a tool with Sasolinzalo to replace this one so that we deal with the impact that involves PSN and teachers as members of unions. And I want to emphasize, it's all the five unions, not only one union. who has a particular view about Pearson, because Pearson is involved in private education or independent education. Unions hold a view that you don't privatize education. Education is a social good, but our constitution is very clear. It makes provision for both public and private education. I just thought I must just emphasize that point. 3.4.1 has been achieved up to 3.5.1. And then we just summarize there the work that has been done. DBE monitored and provided oversight role in 6 provinces for the implementation of IQMS. 248,263 educators were appraised in terms of IQMS. 5,847 schools were monitored and supported by provinces and districts for IQMS by IQMS coordinators, and 18,861 educators were beneficiaries of training and support for IQMS. And of course, we're detailing more work in respect of that line function in terms of the work that has been done up to even training that was provided by the ELRC, and in particular to implement the resolutions that has been achieved at the level of the ELRC. And of course, we also reporting on the revised system, which introduced the signing of performance agreements by office-based educators, but also monitoring and oversight of skills development in terms of PMDS in those provinces, as indicated, activities of school self-evaluation and school self-improvement, whole school evaluation, the annual report on HR planning for 2016 and 2017, but also we're providing more information again in terms of the work that we have done to deal with the notion of improving the profile of educators there. And the reporting continues there. In terms of the recruiting young people into the system, giving a promissory note through Funza Lushaka, and I've also covered in the highlight the work that we have done here in terms of Funza Lushaka and so on. But also important is the work that DBE and the Independent Schools Association of South Africa is doing. We are working with the Independent ISASA, stands for Independent Schools Association of South Africa. And these are the figures in terms of the placement of the Funza Lushaka buzzers. There's been an improvement overall over time. Program 4, this is the last but one program, Chair, I'll be done in a few minutes. This one is about promoting the quality effective service delivery in the basic education system through planning and implementation of assessment. Target 4.1.2 and 4.2.1 has been achieved. 4.2.2 and 4.4.1 has also been achieved with a positive variance, as you can see. 4.4.2 has been partially achieved with a variance of 0.3%, as you can see there. It's about lorries, the system that we capture, you know, the database of learners. It's about data warehousing, which we are working with provinces. So we have just dropped by that variance of 0.3%. It is what also caused the qualification, Chair, I must say. It also cost us a qualification. And just to summarize what has been done, more than 79% of schools benefited from the non-fee-paying policy, which translated into 9.7 million learners who are not paying school fees in the country. I think it's close to about 80% of schools which are not charging school fees in South Africa. We've also been providing support to provinces, Chair. You'll see the improvement of the audit profile of provinces. We've been providing support to provinces there. Noti schools and learners who are attending these schools, we've provided the figures that we referred to, 9.7 million out of 12 million. National assessments, I did indicate that we've now finalized the agreement with unions. We have the what we call systemic evaluation, which is piloted this year. Full implementation is next year. International assessments, we've been working with international bodies to use the data to improve the performance of the system. We're just indicating that, you know, in setting for the National Senior Certificate, 376 question papers had to be set, which means that you're talking about 376 panels, because each paper is supposed to have its own panel that is being set. That's the magnitude of the work there. Supplementary exams, as indicated in the summary, these are the figures, this is the improvement broken down for province, and we're also giving the combined results of November and supplementary exams, and summarizing those, and just giving, you know, provincial performance achievement of the combined results there, and comparisons, of course, of 2016 and 2017, which is already done, the different categories of the qualifications, we're providing data there, and a summary of the comparisons of 2017 results based on the qualification type. We also give them that data there. And again, Chair, coming there, coming back to targets 4.3.1 up to 4.3.4, as you correctly pointed out in your opening remarks, infrastructure is an area of challenge. But I must also qualify that area. We did much better in 2017-18 compared to the previous years. The projects that were delivered are much more than the projects that were delivered the previous years. The variance is created by the fact that if you are unable to meet your target for a particular year, we take those targets that are not met, we add them to the next year. So it becomes a rippling effect. There's a spiral effect in the subsequent years. And that's why, you know, targets from one year to the other would appear not to have been achieved. But I must also highlight one of our challenges. One of our main challenges, Chair, is around implementing agents such as IDT. IDT is an implementing agent reporting to Public Works. It's one of the poorest, in fact, it's the poorest performing implementing agent. And I want to say it here, the poorest performing. There are two implementing agents that have picked up. It's DBSA. DBSA is leading. When ACD started, it was only DBSA that was involved. It struggled. It has used that experience. It's actually leading. It's followed by Mvula Trust. Mvula Trust focuses mainly on water and sanitation. The projects that we deliver are mainly dependent on those two implementing agents. We even struggle because provincial and national departments of public works are also part of our implementing agents. They are also underperforming. They are also underperforming. I don't take pleasure in reporting greatly about a sister department, but I've got no choice. When it comes to this one, I must tell the truth. We spend more time with the deputy minister meeting with implementing agents when we should be spending more time with teachers and officials to improve the level of reading of our learners in the country. We spend more time. I mean, I've spoken about the three meetings that we have had with implementing agents, with contractors, and with officials who are involved in those functions, instead of using that time to focus on teaching and learning. So that's the challenge that we have. I thought it's important that I raise that because you are the relevant committee where we need to vent this frustration in. These are some of the projects, as I said, although we underperformed in terms of the year under review. If you look at, for instance, inappropriate structures, the baseline is 510. 195 of these projects have been completed. And over 90% of these projects are in the Eastern Cape. There are some of those projects here in the Western Cape for our city, but over 90% are in the Eastern Cape. In fact, the concern that we're beginning to have is that some of the schools that we are building in the Eastern Cape, over time, they are going to stand empty because those areas are getting depopulated. Mm-hmm. But the difficulty is that you can't provide transport in some of these areas. These are mountainous areas. You don't have access to transport. So you've got to build a school in one way or the other. And communities don't accept mobile structures. They don't even accept structures that are cost effective, where you use wood and so on, which might be risky. You know, we come from areas where you've got felt fires. Mm-hmm. If you put up structures that are made up of wood, it's another risk. But communities don't accept mobile structures. Ideally, we should be putting in mobile structures, but we are building structures that are made of bricks and mortar. But our concern is that some of these structures are going to stand empty because areas are getting depopulated, people are moving to those areas, to areas of economic activity. And I'm saying this so that you probably help us as public representatives to address this with communities. Communities don't take anything unless it's brick and mortar. Because if it's not brick and mortar for them, it's not quality. And it says that you don't take them serious. But the reality is that you don't make a meaningful investment out of taxpayers' money. And again, just to give a summary, by the 31st of March, we're likely to have more projects this year than we ever had before. And the reason being is that we also use alternative method to brick and mortar of building some of the schools, which take 3 to 6 months instead of, 12 months and more. So we've got more projects that are ongoing, and some which will be completed in 2018, 2019. By next year, there'll be more schools to hand over. We have started, in fact, to indicate to public representatives that we've got schools that should be handed over, particularly in the Eastern Cape. We're providing more progress there, Chair. And these are some of the pictures of the schools that we are putting up. You can see that these structures are almost in the middle of nowhere. But you've got to build them. You've got to build the sanitation facilities. If you don't, then it gives an impression that you neglect those communities and you don't take it serious. More often than not, you find that the school and sanitation facilities is the only government facility in that area, especially in the Eastern Cape. But that's the reality that you are putting up with. Target 4.5.1 has been achieved, and the next one has also been achieved. 4.5.3 has been partially achieved, a variance of 0.5. And here we're talking about district planning and implementation support, which has been taking place, and this details the activities of that line function at that level. District level planning implementation continues, and the work that has been taking place there, and of course working with the NECT, the National Education Collaboration Trust, in doing work at district level, and this goes down up to even planning at school level, and this slide concludes that exercise and just provides more information around planning at school level. National and provincial coordination, this is the work that's been done by that line function. We do an assessment before the school readiness monitoring next year. The team has started to do that. We presented to the portfolio committee on basic education, on the state of readiness. Public representatives, parliamentarians, councillors from municipalities will be going out to monitor the reopening of schools. This line function does that work, but follows up on matters that are reported to the presidency, but also reported to the department. And customer relations management, these are the issues that were resolved, which came through the line function, through the call center, in the department, or probably in the presidency. And this is the summary that we are providing in respect of the work that has been done in this area. Schools that work, part two of it, where schools are giving us the, you know, what makes a school in the rural area to perform as compared to schools that are in the urban area that have the best facilities or state-of-the-art facilities, which do not even perform at the level at some of the schools that perform. We've documented all that, and we've used that to encourage schools that are underperforming to perform. We're providing pictures of the visits that we made to different provinces, dates on which we carried out these visits, and that continues. The visit to marking centers, we have started the visit to marking centers for now, but we're giving for the year under review, and providing some of the pictures of the activities reported to. This is the very last program. Last but not least, very important, social cohesion in the sector. I'll summarize quickly. It's a very short one. 5.1.1 is achieved. The next one partially achieved, Chair. And then 5.2.2 up to 3.1 has been achieved as well. And that summarizes the work, the National ABC Motsepe, School Eisted Fort, and I want to really put a special plea to members. It's our flagship project where learners will be singing from different provinces and so on. The minister plays prime importance to this program. The same applies to sports and other related activities. And we're just indicating there which schools won. And this time around, it looks like, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Whitley, it was KZN that won. That won the championship of the Iceland Sport. And the reading clubs there. School safety is another area we're indicating the work that we have done. The school health promotion, we've also done quite a lot of work. Care and support, again, the health promotion, we indicating the activities that have been covered there. Working with the curriculum line function, lesson plans that we developed to address this area. Screening is another area. Deworming is a very big area that we look at, working with the Department of Health and the World Health Organization, the work that has been done there. And these are the figures that we are providing in terms of NSNP, the breakfast with our partners, Kellogg, Tiger Brand, etc. And the last part is about, you know, the expenditure, Chair. We've even increased our performance 99.7 as compared to before. And I'm sure honorable members will agree with me that a variance less than 2% in terms of the PFMA is deemed to be not significant. So in all the five programs, we performed as expected. And the variance is there. We are saying carry good mass literacy program, and some saving was realized there. And in program three, we underspend by that amount. Program 4, we underspend by that amount. Program 5, we also underspend by that amount. Economic classification, we're providing the overall performance there. We're also giving reasons for underperformance. For Karikude, we made a saving because after we investigated, we retain money for paying salaries of people who are doing correct good, and the volunteers were able to record a savings. The second chance program, we couldn't spend all the money allocated to it, given the learners who pitched up for the program. But I'm sure Land Functions can explain more. National assessments have indicated that the systemic evaluation is piloted now, will be implemented next year. And that's part of the reason why we could not spend the money, because we're going to start spending it next year. Transfers and subsidies to a grant for learners with profound and intellectual disabilities. We had difficulties of recruiting the multidisciplinary teams, the psychologists, the therapists, because the posts were fixed-term contracts. People were not prepared to leave their permanent post for a post-term contract. We've negotiated with Treasury. It looks like going forward that won't be a problem anymore. And then capital assets, we're providing an explanation there, fixed assets in respect of a city. As I said, we overperformed, and we're giving reasons why. The year under review, ACD overperformed, unlike the previous years, where we had to come back to you and say we were unable to spend this money. In fact, this year, Treasury is giving us 800 million, because our performance of 17-18 is now spilling over to this year. We're running short of the money allocated to us. So we're indicating progress in terms of audit. These are areas of findings of the audit, and I won't go one by one. We're just indicating in terms of performance information, we're showing the performance of all the programs and the work that we are doing to improve the audit, and we are reporting to the audit committee on a regular basis. As I said, Chair, we provided support to provinces as well. 3 out of 9 provinces improved their audit profile. Limpopo moved from the disclaimer to qualified. Mpumalanga moved from qualified to unqualified. Free State moved from qualified to unqualified. And then we request the committee to discuss the report and provide guidance. Thank you very much. I'm sorry that I've taken more than what we now need to say.
No, thank you very much, DG. A good report, good accounting, without being matured, pacing for a graduate, Honorable Hutton. As you always say, that we have graduated to be matured, pacing us for departments. No, but the report is a good report, even if you're not there, any person can read and understand what is written there. I think we have improved in terms of reporting without speaking to the content of it. Honourable members, there we are. Can I have indication by show of hands those who want to participate? Let me start with Honourable Stock, Honourable Kaula, Honourable Hutton, Honourable Pambo and Pasi. Okay, let's start from the beginning.
Oh, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also add my voice to appreciate the presentation, which was done by the DG on behalf of the department. And I'm also sharing the same sentiments, Honorable Chairperson, at the risk of also being called names. That is a good report. And what I appreciate also from the DG, he does not shy away from the challenges, which is a good thing. But having said that, DG, there's something that is actually bothering me, when you were presenting and when I was looking at your report. I think in the 2017-2018 financial year, the irregular expenditure that was there in the department, which is recorded in the books of the department, I'm not sure whether it appears there as part of the condonation or it's parked there for further investigation or what is happening. But maybe for the purpose of the meeting, just clarify us as to what is happening so that we are clear as honorable members of this committee. And then also maybe as part of your response, just give us an idea as to whether there's action that has been taken, and then if there's action that has been taken, how much of the irregular expenditure money has been recouped by the department. And then also, DG, the AG, it's on records in the Auditor General's report about the fact that there are certain steps that yourself as an accounting officer did not follow or did not do to prevent wasteful, irregular, and fruitless expenditure of the department. And then maybe when you respond to us, we'll just also maybe touch a few of those issues. And then the last issue I want to raise, DG, the last time when we met with the Department of Sports and Recreation, there's an issue pertaining to school sports. And then there's a memo that has been signed. I think it's the new memo that was signed, the amended memo between the two departments. Now, when we met with Sports and Recreation the other day, they indicated to us that as part of the key highlights of that MOU is that there are some great improvement from the Department of Education, Basic Education, meaning that the money that has been set aside, the budget initially, when this MOU was signed a few years ago, it was a small budget. Now, that budget has now been improved now. It has been increased, which is a good thing, also which we need to appreciate from your side. But I'm not hearing when you present to us here, as a select committee, that you are going around the country, you are giving support to provinces, you are building schools. Like, for an example, the province where I come from, the Northern Cape, and also throughout the country where we've been as a select committee, we are building, of course, nice schools, good infrastructure, but the problem is those schools, they don't have sports facilities for the kids. And I think it's an issue which we have been raising continuously. Mm-hmm. But let's look at it so that we encourage our young people at the schools to also participate in school. And then to make it easier for us when we'll be coming to implement, this MOU between the two sister departments, that there will already be facilities in the different schools. So if we continue to build schools where there's no facilities, and then we sign an MOU, we agree in terms of what issues are assigned or raised in the MOU. At a later stage, we'll not be able to implement it necessarily because there will not be those facilities. So as an issue maybe for the future, DG, let's look at to encourage provinces when they budget or to implement these different schools, when they build schools in their provinces, they must look at least, I don't think it will cost an arm and a leg for a province to build, when they build a school, to also consider putting up a sports facility, whether it's a rugby field, whether it's a sports field, whether it's a tennis court, and so forth. I think it will assist us a great deal. Thank you very much, DG. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair, colleagues, DG, and your dedication. Thanks for the presentation. I might not necessarily, Chair, be confined to the report itself, but I'll also go outside the report to the issues that I've been talking about for the past 4.5 years with the department, so that next time we come to report to this committee and I'm sitting there, I can be able to not there. Myself and then the DG and others. Then I can be able to reflect on these issues I've been raising. The first one, DG, is your schooling 2025. You just touched on them. I wanted to find out how far are we, rather than just passing through, because it's goals that you set for yourself. We would like to find out how far. We did not give you those goals. You set those goals yourself. And there is this shifting to 2030. I'm sure the next 5 years will shift to something else. But before we even look at the shift, how far have we come in terms of trying to get to those goals? The next one, Chair, I've I've always been saying, PG, you can talk about your 70.7, your 72.1 as an improvement. I've always said, I've always maintained, what about the others? That's my question to the department. That's my question to the schools. We cannot start a year with teachers who are saying to our children, 20 of you are going to fail. Only 80 of you are going to pass. It's just wrong, Chairperson. Well, however you put it, so I'm not impressed by your 70.7, your 72.1. What about the others? We cannot plan to fail our children right at the beginning of the year. No, it can't be. Chairperson, this one is just a remark again to say, you know, when we debated the motion I raised in the House, some of the MSs, DG, were telling different stories. I'm glad this came from you on page 10. That Free State, KZN, and Northwest did not train the ECP practitioners. Because when you say these things, it's like we are challenging people, putting them on the spot, when we are actually talking facts, to say some of the things, some of the areas, other provinces have to improve. Rights coming from the department to say, I'm very grateful. It's just a pity that those who are writing are not here. I spoke to the DG on the sidelines one day on this issue of the PPN, and you agreed with me, DG, that the way we set the PPN is wrong. Urban and rural cannot be the same. I'm hoping you will be attending to that, DG, going forward, because the circumstances are not the same. So this is a big disadvantage to rural schools. It disadvantages them because people are moving away from rural areas. But the way we set the PPN does not consider those factors. There is little development in rural areas. But the way we set the PPN does not look into those factors. So I'm hoping DG will attend to this quite soon to say, can we change this so that at least the way we set the PPN is at least favorable to the rural areas, because the conditions there are very different. Otherwise, you will keep on talking about closing schools. The same goes for quality. The same goes for quality. I've been saying this from 2014. I arrived here, Chair, to say education that we offer as a country is not the same. It's not the same. Education in rural areas is not the same quality as the one we offer in the urban area, because of the many factors. Teachers who are highly qualified, they don't want to go to rural areas, they go to urban areas, it affects quality. Schools in rural areas, children have got to walk long distances, it affects quality, and so on and so forth. So the issue of quality for me still remains an issue, teaching. That the education, the kind of education we offer, still differs. It depends on who you are, where you are. Can you have money to buy quality? And that is not right. The quota chairperson is directed to the chairperson. I see that my sister, Umakabisa Kuluse, from the portfolio committee did attend, but the NCOP did not attend. I just want to find out from the chair why. Because you see, these forums are very important. The issues that we talk about, even when the department is not with us, they need to find their way to the department through this kind of forum. So I want to find out from the chair, why did you not attend, Chair? What happened? If you please, why did you not send Kaula to go ahead and represent the committee? Or Mshoti, whatever the case may be. Let them show it, whatever the case may be. Chairperson, the issue of the delivery of workbooks, I just want to caution that DG, the mix-up still does happen. You would find out that schools open and there is a school which has got wrong workbooks that were delivered to the school. can that be attended to? Because I know that it still does happen, at least in the area where I stay. The mix-up still does happen, and it does destabilize the program when teachers have to run around finding out from their neighboring schools who can assist them, who has got all the supply and stuff like that. I'm glad you are attending to that issue of the official African languages, where you say we still have 3,558 schools that do not offer any of the previously marginalized African languages. It's something that we have to attend to. Big ups to UKZN. In the country, they are the only one who have always been very serious about this. Of the tertiary institutions, and I'm glad it's in KZN, UKZN. they are leading. shut up. Chairperson, the multi-grading, I do note, DG, that your department is doing that toolkit to assist them. But I want to go not in a negative way, because it's a good thing you're helping. But what I'm saying is, why do we still have multi-grading? 24 years in democracy, we still have multi-grading. It's just not right. Talk to those issues I was talking about, issues of quality. And in another way, a toolkit might be a way of promoting the multi-grading. Like I said, I'm saying this in a positive way. Can we maybe focus more on doing away with multi-grading whilst assisting them, but the focus must be on saying, we just want to do away with multi-grading. When I was a teacher, there's a poem I liked a lot, teaching to the young ones, whenever it was prescribed. I speak for the bush, you speak for the civilized, will you hear me? So whenever I talk, you know, I have this rural bias with me. The Funza Rushaga versus others. What about others? It's always been an outcry out there to say the Department of Education employs Funza Rushaga teachers as a priority, and those who have paid their own money to get their degrees do not get prioritized. I'm just saying it as a comment, teacher, so that you also see how you handle that one. The November versus combined on your slide 68. I'm noting one thing of interest there, Chair. Very interesting that the Eastern Cape went down after the combined. All the others went up after the supplementary exams, but I don't know how does this happen that after supplementary exams you get a province getting a lower percentage. It's just a question of interest here. Well, I also note your comments on ACT. I agree with you, DG, but on your figures you have presented there, I don't understand them. I just want to find out whether, when you say baseline, where Eastern Cape has 442 schools, KZN has 3 schools, does that mean KZN has got only 3 schools with inappropriate structures? Can you explain that? Because it sort of confused me, because if it means that, then it's wrong. It can't be. If it is something else, maybe to say those are your activities, then my question would be, why is such a low number, especially for KZN, which also still has got a lot of inappropriate structures that we need to do away with? Why do you allocate so much to the Eastern Cape? So I'm saying if, because I first need clarity as to what does that mean. But if it means that you're only doing 3 schools in KZN, that is very bad. I'm moving across the end, Chairperson. I also would like to to go to the comments that were made by my colleague, but in another way. I just want to say to DG, I know that you said nothing about this MOU, but to me it's a question of saying, I told you so. when your counterpart with sports and recreation and yourself, you presented to us and you were very excited about this. I was saying to you, if I were the teacher of education, I would be more concerned about children passing. I would be more concerned about the classroom. In other words, I'm glad that you said nothing because it proves me right. This is not a priority. You even forgot to tell us what's happening. It proves me right. I told you so, teacher. LFNP and scholar transport, can the department nationally please attend to this? You see, it opens government to corruption. If there is one thing that is called corruption in schools, in the department, in South Africa, it is NSNP and scholar transport. The Northwest Department, when you go to the issues there, what nearly collapsed the Department of Education was just this thing of NSNP and scholar transport. Can the department please sit down? You know, you are paid to think, all of you here. We are not paid to think. You are our thinkers. Corruption in education comes through these two programs, NSNP, scholar transport. Can you please go to Pretoria, sit down, sort out how we are going to attend to this and close all the tabs in respect of money going to waste, because a lot of money is going to waste on NSNP and scholar transport. It is what is going to tarnish your image as education. They may be doing it on your behalf, but at the end of the day, it's your program. It belongs to education. So can you please look at this so that when I come there, I don't inherit these problems. I want a smooth run. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Are you coming with advice?
Thanks, Chair.
Are you coming with advice? From Dubai.
The future minister should calm down next to me, please. thank you, Chair. In the report, it was mentioned that the department met with the registrar of the Child Protection Register to discuss ways to ensure that names of educators who commit, and the word used in the report, commit unwanted acts against children are being listed. Now, I think that's perhaps, my perception, an unfortunate choice of words, unwanted. How does the department now define unwanted acts? Or is there a philosophy behind this that say that consensual relationships between learners and educators is not really unwanted? Should it not be criminal and disciplinable acts? I would like to get that. And then, what was the outcome of the meeting with the registrar to ensure that these educators are identified? All of them are identified, all of them are listed, and it becomes a working document. And with timelines set for this, we'll get some information on that. Then, the question of the educator diagnostic tests. And the educator stroke trade union resistance to this comes a long way. In fact, that you have cut your target of educators to be tested from the previous term, I think, by about 30%, from 20,000 to 10,000, and still could not achieve it. Now, in your notes, you said that perceptions need to be changed. I don't know whether it's within unions or educators, but certainly that this should be in the conditions of service, that the quality of our education and the education providers, educators, are tested and controlled from time to time. It certainly cannot be in any country where we want to apply norms and standards, a thing that you cannot test, you cannot control, you cannot identify the weaknesses in your system. What are these perceptions and how is it being changed? And how will the body change this? Then, as in the previous years, the department's Achilles heel and also the reason for the qualified opinion is acidity and poor contractor performance for whatever reason, and also for the under expenditure. Also noted that contractors are being blacklisted. Now, this is becoming a perpetual situation. It's becoming a trend. It's not a once-off. This we know. Where schools are concerned, and infrastructure is concerned, apart from the serious maintenance problems, this is going to be a failure in the next year as well. We know that. Trend has been set. And there appears to be no breakout from this trend. If we look, new schools, 10% of target achieved. Sanitation, 11%. Water, 13%. Electricity, 13%. And the most of this are actually in the poorest of the poorest communities, like the Eastern Cape. And what concerns me was the statement that because of, it appears to be a lack of medium and long-term planning, that schools may be built that will be, when they are finished, will be not utilized. There must be a solution to this. There must be proper planning in place. There is migration patterns, well said. So I would like to know, what are we going to do about, what's the department going to do about breaking this trend of non-performance on this area? Then, you got, like I stated, the AG gave you a qualified opinion on the non-performance and not properly accounting for the infrastructure assets of the city program. On irregular expenditure, the growth in irregular expenditure is also related to a city. And with another 154 million. What is also a serious concern, I would like to get a indication on that, is that although through the current years fruitless and wasteful expenditure appear to just be about half a million for the current year, there's another 82.8 million not included under the fruitless and wasteful, which is still under investigation. But this also going to a city, mostly a city. So it appears that a city procurement, supply chain management, the whole system is the Achilles heel of the department, well established, and it must be seriously and forcefully addressed. Otherwise, this pattern, well established now, will just continue and will continue to drag the department down, and the poorest of the poorest communities will not get what's being promised to them year after year. So can we say that there's a plan to stop the irregular expenditure related to our city, to procurement, and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure linked to this in the near future? Is there a program? Is there an intervention plan? Is there a turnaround plan in place? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DG, for the presentation. And the part that you are interested in, you in your presentation, you were mentioning the teacher in your, and your stress is not only one, but for them. your interventions in that regard in the laboratory, which was also on, you touched on that, it was also on my list, the disability. And here in the Western Cape, we have a school called Dilabat. It's in Worcester. I want to know what you, your intervention in terms of disability, did it go as far as Dilabat school in Worcester? You'll know that most of the schools, apart from the one that is for deaf people in Khayelitsha, there's only one. Most of the schools are in Worcester here in the Western Cape. Thanks also for the African languages report that you had alluded to. And then coming to my questions. DG, in Gyan, in Limpopo, most of the school after the trauma that we had in 2 years, we put prefabs. And the state of the school in Giani, and through you, Chairperson, I will email the list of the school in Giani when we talk to the DG, the list of schools and their names, which we have seen the state and the pictures that I took in Limpopo. The state of the schools, you are not even dilapidated. The state of the school is appalling. I don't know if we want a learner to prosper. They can't learn in that not conducive atmosphere. And I will mention the school in the email. I'm going to send it through you, Chairperson. Talking about security, which also impacts on the nutrition, which also impacts on the drug and substance abuse getting to the schools. DG, recently, teachers have been attacked in school premises. Teachers, educators have been attacked in school premises. It raises the question of where was security? How did they, the weapons to attack the teachers who died in schools? Come. Where was security? And this security is very important because it also impacts on the nutrition that gets to be delivered and gets to be stolen by the educators in the school. They use the groceries gets stolen by the educators. I'm told here in the Western Cape there is wounded Uteka Fetwana and the security net ishara. Now, ba, yabani long life milk. I've got pictures. Long life milk. There's nenyinto yekrosali, I rice, nento, nento, zizivarishwa ezinze ishara. It is a searching grotesque alone. Most of it alone. How do you strengthen monitoring and valuing the security? Who led you back? It is a ziba ikrosal and the tension is security. Security impacted. And I know for a fact, I can mention a Google to a Khayelitsha. This is. No, this is not on. That food is for the learners. And some of the learners come, schooling, bakutoza leduba, besija. They come, Chairperson, bakutoza, ubandi, yes, schooling, na plate, for the day, I will miss it. Bakutoza, kukuyakuya. Diego is tattooing. DG, I'll take Ngando. Get legal matters as the court, the Department of Investigation. And Zulu Toto, there are many of them. legal matters. Your presentation was silent on it. Tell us, we know for a fact, and I'm going to mention what happened in Eastern Cape in terms of pit toilet, a five-year-old dying. We know about that. We know that it also happened in Limpopo. You're not talking about it. We need to know about it. A child, a learner, died because of speed toilet. How far is that? And we know for a fact that the family has sued the department, and you're not talking about it. Can you please furnish us the details with that matter? My compliment on the Astetford. I'm very happy. Having been in the Model C school where I taught, it raises a question about IMES Olympiad. I want to see IMES Olympiad being introduced. The fact that you affording Astetford quick, so-called black schools, it means the IMES Olympiad you can make it. IMES Olympiad, Queen Model School, is rife, and I want to see it in so-called black schools, because that's where the foundation of the Department of Basic Education, you call it, maingabona Queen Model C schools only, ingabona Queen Model. You did speak about this sanitation, which we think it gives dignity. I know you're working on it, but sanitation. Concerning Ifunza Lushaka Basari holders, this committee has always been of the notion that Ethiopians, the bursary holders, mazinga afundisi into ezingayitrenelanga ekholejini okanye iyunivesithi. Umzekelo, i-English teacher iteache i-math ingekho skilled to teach i-math. This affects the academic excellence of the school and the whole aggregate of the school, because funeka pay back logician, because we pay a recipient, but we trained for English, not for IMES. Coming to Ifunza Lushaka, support material that gets to be delivered. This committee has always said, when it comes to calculators, let it be a scientific type calculators that are given, and not yes. Because it affects the academic excellence, the aggregate has followed, yes, because you're setting up the learners for failure, science calculators. You're setting them up for failure. And math, they cannot deal, but the scientific, not the other one. I'm trying to think other than the math lit, they don't, as Nibaniga don't, Nibaniga other than the math lit, and as the science, Nibaniga other than the math. And I'm speaking about what Intendi Bolle has got. I'm speaking about Intendi Bolle. Masinga set up a bantana bantu for failure. We want them to shine, bangene ku tertiary. IMES determines tertiary institutions on the way. Because if you have the IMES math, you are probably going to go to Rhodes, to UCT, to certain. We don't want to abandon it, bangene UCT, because IMES yaba affected, because affect, and if you look at... iyaba affecta imensi into yoba mabangene kwi-tertiary institution ezigood because la point system ekubalwa ngayo kwezi-dilinzona iyaba affecta. Ndicela niqinise amatyathanga. And I know into yokuba ooprincipal bafuna itshintshi, bafuna itshintshi because even nokufaka kocingo bathatha ilona. Hey, corruption ininzi. Hey! Corruption in it, and it's costing this country. It's costing this country. Even if products they are cost to the corruption. It's for nature.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start to apologize to our late in the meeting, Honorable Chair, and the department. And also the first thing, Chair, let me start to welcome the presentation from the DG. DC, one, I think it's very important to congratulate you and your team because you managed to meet your targets. I think, Chair, my first question was on page 10. Sometimes it's difficult to sit where I'm sitting now. I used to sit on that side so that I must be the first or the second one. My first question was covered by Honorable Kahula.
Okay.
But the DG, I want to emphasize on the issue of nutrition, the one that was raised by Honorable Tandis Bogwa. When you present, you said we are the best country coming to the issue of feeding our learners at school. I think I agree with you. But I think we are lacking on the issue of monitoring and security, like Honorable Tandi was saying. I think this thing, we need to go down, maybe the province also, just to assist you, and even us, it's our job, to make sure that you go to our school, you see what is happening, who assists the department. Because, yes, indeed, Dr. Mama Buye, unfortunately, they are just up in the Velakonam, Nantalama Plaza. I'm coming from the rural area where I wake up 4 o'clock and sleep and do everything. My mom's house is in front of the school, the primary school. This thing of stealing the food for our learners is true. Because the employees or the mothers who cook for these learners before at school, they wake up around 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning, they open the gate and they take this food. When the learners come to the school, when the teachers are there, but already the food is not there. Sometimes we get a complaint to say, our learners are eating the same food, starting from Monday until Friday. But when we check the menu, when we check the manner in which the department the food was delivered, everything is fine. So this thing of stealing the food is just making us not be good on that one. But I think it's not only the job of the department. They are just raising the issues, but now we are supposed to assist you on that one, and also the province to monitor what is happening in the school. Because immediately when I saw this thing, because I was in my mom's house Monday, then I go to school, I address the issue with the principal to make sure that this is not going to happen again. I think I'm fine, Honorable Chairperson. Most of the issues was raised by the members.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. What Honorable Mshodi has just said, it says we need to own up, we need to be a responsible nation. Nonetheless, the challenges that we're faced with, and number one, which is we are growing by the day, and then we have challenges of migration also. On the program of the NSNP, last week we were in Gauteng province taking parliament to the people that identified the region or district was Ekurhuleni. We visited one of the primary schools. We're happy about the performance of that school because it ranged from 94%, 96%, 92%. But the challenge is, the school is in deep slope. So most of the migrants, they go there, they create whatever mikukus and shakes. They make a negative impact on the enrollment of the learners. So when we wanted to know about this NFMP, because according to us it was affecting the budget of the school, and we wanted to know how do you accommodate these learners without a necessary documents, because you cannot deny them education, but at the end of the day, how are they going to be certificated on their Umalus is going to give them certificates when they have written their grade 12 examinations. Do you think we have value for money in that regard? Then you're talking about the poor performance of IDT, which we agree with you. But for the quality of education as raised by Honorable Kaula, we are from the rural provinces, naturally Limpopo. Limpopo is rural to such an extent that you might not even know of there are villages beyond mountains. For example, when you go to Piring is in Duat. Piring is on the border of Limpopo and Mpumalanga. You look at the road infrastructure, it's too bad. How are we going to retain our teachers? It affects the quality of education. We understand our public works is not doing anything. It's not that DG you were talking bad about them. It's a concern that we are raising with all the departments. You go to the Department of Health, you look at the infrastructure, what a mess. So we don't know how best can we, I don't know what kind of a proposal or what kind of a strategy can we come about so that we make the Department of Public Works to own up what it is supposed to do, because we will always come here, raise the same concerns of teacher retention, poor education, because of this thing. Because there's no teacher who wants to go to a school whereby the lifespan of the car will just be finished within 3 years. It's not possible. And the issue of teacher-educator attacks is growing by the day. Yeah. There are shelters whereby they're accommodated, but they're not safe. They don't want to stay there. They get up there, 2 minutes, the place has been vandalized. We don't know what is the best way that we can do. With the irregular expenditure which was raised by on-stock, that says, what measures have we done? Because by the look of things, it says, from 2013-14, 2014-15, 2015-16, 2017-18. I also want to reiterate, what measures have you taken against the officials who have been found having done wrong about this thing? Let's appreciate and applaud you on the payments of the temporary educators. It's a very good thing that you're doing. On for one, DG, I heard you saying something about one, but you didn't elaborate. Can you assist me, because number one is another area whereby the schools were tortured. I don't know where the provincial department will get the money to build those schools. We would like the national department to chip in, though in the past you said you don't see any crisis in that clause, but you can see, based on the fact that we are rural, where are we going to get that money maybe to see to it that those schools are being rebuilt? Lastly, Chairperson, even though we have been called that we praise and we do whatever, the last words are, we must always remember that service delivery, it's not an event. Service delivery is a continuous process, because by the day we grow, there's no day that we sit here and say Department of Basic Education, enough, it's enough, we have done your job, we are happy. You go to Limpopo, people are migrating. Now they're living where I say they want to go next to Megasport because of the mining industries. They want to leave Radikale, they want to go to Lephalale. They want to leave Radikale, they want to go to Messina. It's a challenge to you also because when I leave, I take the whole package to that area. And that area is negatively impacted. What do we do? But we must have that understanding that we are a growing nation. There's nothing that we can do. Let's appreciate the good work that you are doing. Lambasting you will never assume. What we must do is to understand the good work that you are doing and help where necessary. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Honourable members, we are in a predicament here. We were supposed to be in another meeting at 12:30.
I've spoken to the chief minister.
Okay. Some of the issues that members ask DG relate to e-oversight, not necessarily to the report, the annual report you were presenting. It might be issues that you may want to come back on them. But also, as people who support or approve your budget, we should we are bearing in mind that all the demands and requests that we are putting forth goes with the limited budget that we approve to support you. It's not just we're going to sit here as if we don't know what is happening in terms of the finances in the country, the financial concern we have as a country. Raising these issues with that understanding. From my side, Honorable Kaula, why did the chairperson not attend that meeting? We'll give you a written response. Can you provide a written response on that one? No, we'll provide the written response. Few things from my side, most of the issues were covered. Let me start with the nutrition. We're just coming from Gauteng, taking parliament to the people. It was the main issue there from the communities that our educators and those people who are working, cooking for the children are stealing food. It was the main issue there. So that is Gauteng. It's not only the Boer provinces. I'm talking Gauteng now. Our sitting plenary throughout the week, people are complaining about that we must do something. The reason being that it compromises, as Honorable Mshodi was saying, the quality of food or menu for the children. Food that they're supposed to get, they don't get because it's taken by the teachers who are getting paid to do the job. It's a matter of agency, DG, that you attend to that. So you don't need money to do that. You just have to make sure that it happens. They don't steal. I don't know how you're going to do, but they must not steal. Maybe we over-provide because I know I'm not going to mention when. After the school closes, I think it's an honest principal. He will give out some bags of the soup that you give them for the orphanage, meaning that they had more than enough. You may have to revisit what you give to school. Maybe we're over giving them. But it's a good thing because she doesn't steal. But what it says to me, it means that they are getting more than what they need. For us, DG, when you said textbook, learner support material, what is this thing? You said to school, it only makes sense to us when it's received by the learners. That you have delivered to us is good, but until learners received, in our going around, Eastern Cape KZN, it was the main issue that learners, some of the learners were sharing textbooks. Three, different families, how do you study at home? The other matter is this thing of children not returning books. I don't know, I'm not an educator. Of if a child lost a book or whatever, even if you can deliver the books, the textbooks or whatever, but there's still children still will not receive. I remember in one school, Eastern Cape,
We were told to check at the storeroom. All the books and everything were there. But learners were complaining that they don't have that material. It's an error that you may have to look at and how. Because for us, until children receive them, then you have not delivered to us. So that's an error that you may have to follow up. This is the issue of SMS not acceptable. SMS is not acceptable. I don't mind what reason, whatever reason you give, still not acceptable. 38%, the majority of people abangabothishela are women. If you want experience, are women. And to be at 30%, 38% at this time, I hear what you are saying, but it's still not acceptable from my side. You may have to try other strategies. We do need the 50% is, it's not a bonus or a gift. We've fought for. We need the 50-50. We need it as women. We're not apologetic about that. We need 50-50. Try your best to get to 50%. If there's one thing that we have achieved as this committee is grade R from 0 to 4, having a home. I remember the noise we made when we came 2014. We even invited the different department, education, health and social development, to say find a home. You can't say you're prioritizing ECD and you don't provide infrastructure for that. Really appreciate that decision, DG. I know it's a mammoth task for you as a department to deal with this area, but at least it's one thing that we have achieved as this class, that you say, ECD, you can't, how do you prioritize ECD while Abo Mama and Abo Gogo are improvising in my garage? Abo, how do you monitor that? How do you monitor me, Ekalam? The garage lam. I recruited those children, then you come and monitor, who are you to monitor me? That was our issue at the time. But we really appreciated the committee or as a cluster that we have achieved that to find a home for. At the time we started, basic education was only responsible for the curriculum. When we asked, you say, no, Tina, only responsible for the curriculum and training. Later you came with training of educators. But now, if everything is done by one department, it makes sense to us. The issue of delegations, DJ. We were given an example at KZN to say, you will drive more than 700 kilometers. I think I'm raising this for the second time. Just to get an approval to buy a pen. You spend more than 1,000 rand to buy a pen and a figure, 1 rand. So, the issue of delegations to district is an area that you may want to follow up and make sure that AMA districts have reasonable delegated powers to procure certain things like cleaning equipment or material, AMA pens and stationery. You don't have to go to the province to get those things. It was a big issue, KZN and the Eastern Cape. We appreciate the. I'm only mentioning mostly where they are concerned. Other things we appreciate the achievements. The school sports. You've just indicated that you have appointed a director for school sports, and also your colleague from Department of Sports reported that you have a very good relationship. There is progress. He was even giving numbers that we started here we are today. It's one area that we also appreciate. DG, it will be good for us also to get the 25 years performance report. It will assist us. You may have to send it to our secretary, then they will send it to us. Overall, DG, if one 170 million that has been allocated by National Treasury, we appreciate that. We've been to one ourselves doing oversight. And what is also interesting there is that the biggest pass rate there in the Mpompo is around one. Yeah, they have to be supported.
with all the challenges, but they have to be supported. We appreciate the money given. The poor performance of the ITT and the public works, I don't know who's going to take a decision. It has been like this since when I was an official. The biggest complaint was ITT, Department of Public Works. But I don't think that it's not within your control. Maybe at another level, this thing must be raised sharply because it compromises. Look at your report. Mostly it's green. Where you are really red is on the infrastructure where you don't have control. So it says a lot to us in other forums where we see it. It's something that we must raise sharply. But overall, DG, I used to like math. My best subject in school was math. My math does not go well. In terms of your performance, you are at 73%. In terms of your expenditure, you are at 99.7%. Ipi mali, where is the money? Is it lost? It was under budgeting? Is it on... Listen to what I'm saying. Is it lost? Is it under budgeting? Because in planning, you know, the way we plan as government, we don't go down to the project level where you count for everything. So under budgeting is possible. Or is it only partially achieved? Where is the money? The figures between the performance and the expenditure does not speak to each other. Honourable members, we have a long list of questions. If I may allow them to respond on all of them, it will take another 2 hours for DG to respond. I need your guidance. I wanted to suggest that we request them to give us responses in writing. Unless, if a member feels that there is a question that I would want them to respond. Otherwise, it's a long list of questions. I did not want to interrupt members. I just allowed because I think this, as I was saying, our last interaction in terms of reporting with the department. I need your guidance.
Let's take the written responses.
No, gentlemen, I'm proposing that they must respond to a few and the rest. They do attend submissions. It can't be that they, all of them do attend submissions because you cannot go beyond 1 o'clock.
You agree on that?
Yes, it
does. DG Few is few.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your comments and questions. I would have been very disappointed if you just said to us, no, you did well, go back. Then it wouldn't be this committee that I know. Just a few these honourable chairs. Let me start with yours, Honourable Tamim. The budget performance and performance information. Well, I agree that you don't get a match necessarily between the two, simply because money has been spent. For instance, for DBE, the bulk of our expenditure is in your personnel. So whether people perform or not, their salaries are paid. What you might not pay them is bonuses. I'm just giving an example. But I take your observation that budget performance must also be linked to performance information. 25-year review, we'll make sure that that is forwarded to your committee. The Secretariat will receive it. We'll give the draft report and the final report next year because we're finalizing next year. Delegations to district. The line function dealing with districts is working on that because we have said to all 9 provinces, some of the delegations must be given, like in the PFMA. You don't have to depend whether I like you or not. Given your function, they must just be given. So Ms. Kioveka is dealing with that. The one on the SMS, I can only say that we'll work on it, we'll try to improve, I accept that you don't accept 38%. I was just explaining, it's unacceptable. It is unacceptable, I take it as such. Well, I agree with you that one of our major problems is retrieval of LTSM. And until we address that one, providing LTSM will be a moving target all the time. Yeah. I wish all of them could say that, Honorable Mampuru, but they are not. I take the observation about Eastern Cape and KZN sharing LTSM. We'll keep monitoring that. Even NSNP, it has come out quite strongly and emphatically in this meeting that we need to do better. In the presentation, I did indicate the number of schools which were monitored. Dr. Whittle will have to work out a strategy to address this, address it with heads, address it in the relevant subcommittees, and just heighten awareness and monitoring around this. Honorable Mampuru, Vuani, I'm sure you should be the happiest province, actually. Honestly, I regret why we persuaded Parliament to refurbish and rebuild schools that were destroyed. What we need to be saying as a country, that's your tax money, that's my tax money. Mm-hmm. You destroy, you'll have to rebuild from your own pocket. MEC Lesufi did that when learners destroyed windows in one school and other things. You said to them, after you fix the windows and you fix everything that you have destroyed, I'll come back and address you. And look and behold, they went back, they fixed the windows and everything that they had destroyed. You are sending a wrong message. It's now happening in the Northwest at Mokoka Start. They have banned three schools because they are saying this is the only language that you understand. And we know that you'll come and rebuild the schools. So, irregular expenditure, Honorable Mampuru and Honorable Hatin. I know Honorable Hatin, when he was still chair of the Standing Committee on Public Accounts in the Northwest. But agree with me, Honorable Hatin, that I must differ with you on irregular expenditure. If you compare our previous figures and the current, we have improved by 75%. We've reduced irregular expenditure by 75%. But I know what Honorable Hatin will say to me. He'll say, I want you to go to zero. Eliminate irregular expenditure up to zero. The only reason why we still have some of it, especially in a city, remember this, these are multi-year projects where the tender was not properly managed and not in the department. Remember, tenders are managed by the implementing agents. These are the guys who cause us irregular expenditure, in some extent fruitless and wasteful. And I actually expected you, I don't know how you missed this one, to take us on unauthorized, which came up for the first time in this financial year. I don't know you to be like that. I know you to have a fine comb when it comes to this. And all of this happens with implementing agents. We have changed. You wanted to know what plan do we have. We included in the presentation, Chair, how we are dealing with issues where we got qualified in the audit. We'll appreciate your comments to say, the way you are going about it, we don't think that you are going to win. We've put in what you are going to do there. But in addition to that, the MOAs, Memorandum of Agreements that we signed with implementing agents, we said to them, if you incur fruitless and wasteful expenses, we recover it from you. And in fact, going forward, we'll review whether we can continue to do business with you. Because we can't go on with people who cause us qualifications. And that will apply to IDT, including these public works departments. At some point, they will come and say, education doesn't want to do business to us, they are giving projects to other people. And I implore you to understand it now. The reason why we are going to move away from them is because of these things. The under 500,000, let me put it that way, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It's money involving a law firm that we used in a case about workbooks. There are two companies that were fighting for the project. Now, what happened is that we engaged a law firm, because if you are to get senior counsel, they need to be briefed by an attorney. And we had to get a firm to do that. Why National Treasury declared this as fruitless and wasteful is still mind-boggling to me. We are engaging with them. They should rather say it's irregular, not fruitless and wasteful, because services and goods were incurred, and we got services. By the way, the first round we won. The second round recently, I don't know whether we won or we did not win. But the judgment is out. The judgment still secures the tender with the company that won, but they are nullifying 2 years of extension. So which means those services, we got value for them eventually. We're able to deliver. We protected the delivery of workbooks. If we didn't do that, we'd be sitting with 2012 Limpopo where workbooks were not delivered. Now, how do you declare that fruitless and wasteful? Fruitless and wasteful in the definition of PFMA and in my dictionary understanding of it is that no value was secured by the state. You've lost. So we're still approaching them to consider. But the other difference is that we are also waiting for the SCOPA to finalize the irregular expenditure that we presented to them for the previous years. And all of this comes from previous years. The new projects don't have irregular expenditure. So that's the explanation for it. Oh, maybe I must leave the rest, Chair, for reporting, but I would have loved to comment to them. Honorable Stock is gone, but Honorable Kaula also backed him up. The portion that involves in-school sports is the last section that I rushed through. I would have emphasized the importance of the MOU with the Department of Sports and Recreation. All new schools that you are building, and Mr. Mafuku is here, sports facilities are provided for that. But I take the challenge put forward by Honorable Stock that we should speak to provinces as well. And Honorable Kaula, I don't know whether you'll be coming to sit next to me at the outcomes of the 2019 national elections, or there's going to be floor crossing. I work with the executive authority assigned to the department. Otherwise, you'll respond to the rest in writing. Thank you. I wish you a wonderful festive season. I hope to see you when we'll be releasing the results and at the basic education report line. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG. In fact, we wanted to say that you have covered all of us that have a wonderful festive season. All members, there are two reports in your packages, the legacy report as well as the annual report. I request that you go through them. When we meet next time, we will provide time for them to be adopted. Thank you very much. The meeting stand, including the minutes. The meeting stand adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.